This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Dan the Dog with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson.
I downloaded. Is this becoming one of those sort of men's health podcasts?
No.
Ooh, I hope not.
No.
I hope not. What app did I download yesterday?
Oh, men's health.
Very close.
Some sort of health heart app.
My Fitness Pal.
Ooh. And who is your Fitness Pal?
I think it's a Glaswegian app. You ain't knew about My Fitness Pal. Yeah, My Fitness Pal.
What's it like? How's it working for you? You ripped.
Well, it runs in. Well, and I'm on the verge of a tear myself. I'm not exactly ripped, but I'm on the verge of a tear.
On the bumhole.
Oh, the bumhole's had a bad week. Bumhole's, yeah, it's been a naughty boy. The last few nights has been bothering me.
You need to get him a special cushion. Pop yourself on that. How does that feel?
It's internal, mate, so I don't need. I'm fine when I'm sitting. I'm fine during the day. It's just at night when I'm supine. Problem I've got, if I go on my back, I snore. If I go on my front, he cranks up.
Oh, really?
If I go on my back, I don't have any problem round the back. If I go on my front, I don't snore.
You're like a whale. You, whatever way you are, you've always have to have a blowhole. In the snow, man.
Just coming up for air underneath the duvet.
Man.
Come so down on a kayak.
If you lie in your front, you fart, but if you lie on your back, you don't.
He only pipes up when I'm on my front. It's like the view gets to him. He can see, and he's like, bloody hell, I want to get over there. If I smother him, he's quiet.
You're like a spirit level for shit.
Something to do with
I
shit.
I wonder if you got yourself the exact right angle, actually, that you wouldn't fart, and then you'd know that the bed was.
Well,
the
perfect I've tried to go on my side, but I can't sleep on my side. It doesn't feel like a natural position. It feels like you're betwixt one or the other.
Oh,
it feels like you're trying to get onto your front or onto your back. It feels like you're sort of beached.
Two words for you, pal: fetal position.
No, I don't like it.
You're in the fecal position. That's the problem. Blowing your fucking crap into the air. Lucy must be going mad, Danny. It must be like
she's
the grass
down
section.
Oh, mate, don't you worry about that. She's nowhere to be seen. She thought, we don't share a bed, do we? Christ, married nigh on 10 years. Look, if we bloody look at each other in the morning now. You made it through as well, did you? That's how she greets me in the morning. Bollocks, you again.
No, it was like Wales blur hurl.
Well, that's it. She's always pushing me onto my front. Because if I go on my back, I saw she says, roll over. So you'll have a different problem then, pal.
Can't you? I understand the snoring on the back. The farting on your front is what
it's
really
not farting. It's not nothing to do with farting. It's itching.
Oh.
I don't fart or shit the bed anymore. I just, it makes my hemorrhoid itch.
What, if I go on point it skyward?
Yeah, if I show it the world, I can show you the world. Then he's like, he's up and about. I've got to smother him.
Fuck, that's what it is. He gets a glimpse of sunlight. You know what it's like? It's why those tunnels under the River Thames are bent, is because the horses would see the light and bolt towards it. And sadly, your anus is one straight pipe. And the hemorrhoid gets a glimpse of lamplight and tried to break for the border.
I can get you can get anal blinkers. I can get an eye patch. I think I can get a size 38-inch eye patch and just wear it like a G-string.
Poor little poor guy. Dear. I mean, you've got to try and blast him with some sort of medication.
I do, but I don't like to. I don't like. I'm emotionally exhausted from the pills. I can do the cream, but I don't like to cream every night. Not at my age. I don't like to feel dependent. So every now and again, I think, right, I'm just gonna get through it tonight. It's just a mistake because at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm up and down to the bathroom. The best I can do is alternate medications. I feel like that sort of solved the problem. I tell you what. This is the sort of conversation we'd be having in the dog. And then you look around and you've got like an island around you where everyone else has moved. Sat next to all bloody coughing up blood and shitting himself over there. Like a new, like Stop It and Tidy Up. Do you remember that?
Yeah. What
was Shit it and puke it up. Anyway, I downloaded my fitness pal. Which I downloaded that particular app because it will sync with the watch. So I don't need to upload exercise. I do. It'll go straight on there. I've been at an all-inclusive resort the last week and you can't be having four plates for breakfast, lunch and dinner, but yeah, I'm feeling it.
What about drink?
Mainly wine with meals. Of course I was on the lagers. The Cruzcampo was the local lager of choice. I was having a few of them. Vegan white Russians, if available.
Oh, what, just with soy
milk? Yeah, whatever the non-vegan milk is. Whack a bit of, that's Spanish, that. Whacko el vodka, and then a bit of whatever non-vegano, non-dairy-o. Whacko that in there, oh.
You're so good at languages, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Something you really excel at.
Well, then what I did... I got the train from Malaga to Sheffield.
Jesus. Hang on.
Basically, I was on the tip of Africa.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you were right down near Africa. You were right down near Africa. Ooh.
Yeah, so I went to Malaga, Madrid. Madrid, Barcelona, Barcelona, south of France to Lille, Lille to London, London to Sheffield. And I... fucking loved it.
How long did it take?
2 days.
How many nights did you stop?
Well, you could do it with one overnight, but I chose to leave the first night. I did the night journey because it was very hot, and that riles him up as well. So I knew I was in for it overnight. So I did a night train, 6 till 9, to Madrid. Got up early, went to the Prado, because I'm a cultured man.
What's the Prado?
It's like the Louvre, but for Madrid.
Louvre.
Like the Louvre. They had one of them Caravaggios. I saw a Raphael. All the fucking turtles they had. All of them. They had a Splinter. I seen a Picasso.
Can I just ask your general gallery strategy? Slow mover, medium, fast mover.
I don't really have one because I don't really, this is giving the impression I'm a fan of art. Let me be clear. I will avoid a gallery. I appreciate art given the time. If I learn about an artist and a painting and it has some interest to me, sure. I wouldn't choose a gallery, but I did particularly want to see, some of the work I really wanted to see was Guernica, but that was in the gallery over the way. And I thought, do you just go and see the one painting you want to see, or do you try and see a bit of everything? So I picked maybe the five or six things. I had an hour in there before my train. So I looked like an idiot. I looked like a very uncultured man. I had my little backpack on and I sprinted from painting to painting. I looked at it and went, oh yeah, that's good. I liked the Bosch. I'm a child. I like the ones with weird little goblins in. I don't like all the religious stuff. That winds me up. I don't like all the, I like stuff that looks like what it is. And then I like the nutters who paint like all devils and that and weird little goblins. I liked all that.
Yeah.
But I rarely feel less cultured actually than in an art gallery because I realise it's not for me, this.
Well, my general strategy, and I think I go to more galleries than you.
Sounds like it.
Is to breeze through and then stop and really look at one that catches my eye.
Yeah.
Rather than taking ages over every single one, because you're like, fucking hell, it's going to take
it's
forever.
It's overwhelming as well.
Yep.
You can't, how can you go from a sort of, a Raphael to a Bosch? They're totally different periods. So you can't. You've got to pick something and really enjoy it I think you're right. Just let yourself discover something brilliant and enjoy that.
There was one I found in the Guggenheim in Venice, and I thought, that's great. It turned out to be a Warhol. I thought, well, there you go. I've got an eye for these things. But it wasn't an obvious Warhol. It wasn't one of the repetitive screen prints. It was of some flowers.
Is that how you describe his work?
Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Repetitive screen prints. Is that your review, is it?
An uncultured mess like you understand what people like me.
Is he that one, is he? What done that blonde girl who were in films? And the soup. The soup man, I call him. Is that him?
I've seen one of the original soup ones, actually, in a restaurant in London. But look, anyway, look, email us your gallery strategy.
No, don't.
downthedog.com.
No, I don't want it. Well, I don't.
Culture Corner, man.
I couldn't give a shit.
We've got Gobshite Corner. Why can't we have Culture Corner?
Nah, it's not that kind of pub, mate. I don't want them people in.
Well, it's not just your pub.
You cannot. Listen to me. I'm no media mogul. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a Succession. I don't understand people and what they want. I'm baffled that I've had a career. I don't like people. I don't know what they like. I will say this.
I want Chris.
You cannot. I don't like Kokoliki. I don't want Kokoliki. I like Chris. You cannot spend the first half an hour of a podcast talking about an itchy hemorrhoid and then expect the sort of people who have a gallery technique to still be listening. So anyone who has an art gallery technique did not come through the hemorrhoid chat.
But just bullshit. I am living proof. I did. And I do.
You are an exception.
Nah.
All right, then. Email in purely hello@downthedog.com if you have at the current time or within the last 3 years had a hemorrhoid and in the last year have visited three or more galleries. Yeah. You're the only people I want to hear from.
No, but also you were like, it was about whether people liked the chat or not, whether they shared.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the people who have had a hemorrhoid recently and continue to frequently visit art galleries. We all end up in
one a year, I would say, is fairly frequent.
No, one a year is the sort of you're meeting someone or you're in a new city.
You've tried to rig it. You've tried to rig the outcome.
I want people who are seeking out art galleries. I would say on average, everyone stumbles across one once a year. You end up at one.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
I didn't choose the balloons exhibit in Manchester. I went because my daughter wanted to go. I wouldn't have gone on my own.
That is not typical.
Schlepp.
Most people probably never go to a gallery in their life.
Well, do you know what most people don't do? Do you know what 90% of the population don't do?
What?
They don't ever fly. 90% of people on the planet never get on a plane.
Yeah.
So that's why I got the train back from Malaga. Right.
Okay.
So I spent 2 days. I'm not telling anyone about it.
Nicely done.
It's no one else's. I'm not doing it to influence anyone else. I'm doing it because that's how I've flown lots in my life. So I'm not saying people shouldn't fly. I'm saying I personally have flown enough in my life. And I think one flight a year for me is more than I should be taking.
I wouldn't restrict yourself to that. But, you know, nice aim. If you
nice
miss
aim,
the target,
of course,
that's cool.
Of course, of course, of course. And I say that as a man I've done the Melbourne Festival. So I'm not telling anybody else what to do. I'm not saying you shouldn't be flying. You make your own decisions. For me, I feel I want to find a place where I can go on holiday and get the train. If it's Malaga, so be it. Nevertheless, 2 days, that's a slog. That's a lot of train.
On your own in
wonderful trains.
Countries.
Few cans. Bit of red wine, staring out of windows, Spanish mountains, French Riviera, flamingos on their migration back south, flying over the train, landing in the French River area. I mean,
the what?
The French River area. It's where all the French rivers are. Okay, they'll let you in galleries. Anyway, I beautiful trains. Nobody spoke to me. Didn't have any beef. Nobody sat in my seat at any point. Just idyllic. The last bit, the London back to Yorkshire, that was the bit where I was starting to lose my rag a bit.
Why?
I'm tired now. It is. I'm not going to, I'm not going to bemoan the state of British. It's on the news all the time. People have fucking had enough of it. I support the workers. I'm not having a go. But nevertheless, it is the shittest, dirtiest train of the journey. My seat is at a table. There's nobody reserved next to me. I think, here we go. And I'll tell you this, this is the one thing that we do that they're not doing in Europe. You can see above you whether the seat next to you is reserved or not. That's an innovation that Pierre and Francesca.
Raoul
could have a look at.
Yeah.
You don't
lead
want
the
that,
way.
You don't want that
that's
tension.
A very British mindset, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a very antisocial man. I want to know, someone's getting on a derby. That's me fucked.
Even the trainer's saying, don't fucking sit there.
Yeah.
Fucking you dare.
But
mate.
Then the person who gets on at Derby don't want to sit next to you either. So the person could get on at Derby, have a glance the other side and see that that's not reserved and think, I'm not sitting next to that scratching mess. Look at him fidgeting in his chair.
Blood all down the back of his pants.
Pathetic mess. Hammered.
Shot him on the ass.
Still drinking a warm Cruz Campo, banging on about Picasso. Anyway, the woman who sits next to me.
Your wife?
No.
We started calling them
the polar opposite. You know, you meet your opposite. I couldn't be more different to this woman. She couldn't handle silence. She couldn't handle. I've got my headphones in. I'm saying, I'm out, love. I'm not. And there's a woman opposite. Have a chat with her. Fine. I'm El Bucko. El Audio Bucko. Sorry, we're back in England, aren't we? Yeah. I've got an audio book on, love. I'm reading Limmy's autobiography.
Love.
I don't need a chat. She just talks through my headphones. Just starts talking. Said, I'm a talker. I'm a talker, me. I like to talk. I try not to judge. But, you know, I'm not going to lose my temper. I don't know circumstances. Perhaps she's lonely, whatever. Transpires she's been at a funeral that day. Fine. She's had a few glasses of wine. Conversation dies down. She says, I will stop talking in a minute. I'm like, fine, yeah, fine. She does stop talking. But then she can't handle the silence. So, like, you know when a smoke alarm's running out of battery and it beeps?
Yeah.
Literally every 15 to 20 seconds, she'd go, like that. So when nobody was talking, every 20 seconds,
Mad.
Anyway, then she gets talking. Now, this is a man who has just got the train for environmental reasons from Malaga to Sheffield.
Mm.
Who do you think completes the table but a British Airways in-flight manager who was... The first thing she says to this woman is, I've just landed from Islamabad. I'm off to LA on Thursday, but then when I get back from LA, I'm flying to Barbados for a couple of weeks on my holiday. The woman opposite me says, I'm off to Japan in September. It'll be my 29th visit.
Well, in a way, that's a lovely perspective, isn't it? Because everything you're doing is pointless.
Utterly, utterly pointless. And do you know what? It's a true test of why you do these things. Because if I thought for any fleeting second that me getting the train had any impact on the environment or would influence anyone else, it was laid bare then. You've got to do these things for yourself. And I did it because I enjoyed it more. I enjoyed my holiday more. And I bloody loved getting the train. It was a wonderful journey. But, oh, I didn't half think that's classic me, that. That's classic me.
In your defence, John, I think I prefer, if you get it right, or more to the point, if the train companies get it right, travelling by train is a more pleasant experience. You can get up and move about, you can have a few drinks, etc., etc., so you can watch the world go by. It's just more pleasant on the body and on the mind. So on that way, you know, you've got to see more of Europe, you've got to experience it in a far deeper way than just cruising at altitude. It is better for the environment. You did make a difference. In talking about it on Down the Dog, you may inspire some of our listeners to do the same. So
not one.
It's not totally hopeless. You're basically like Portillo in a way. You're a mix of Portillo and Greta Thunberg. Pro train, anti plane.
It's one of the best and worst things you've ever said about me.
Yeah, Gratillo. Well, I'm glad you did that, and I'm glad you had a bit of time. And
I did. I don't think they'd have let me on the flight. The amount I put away at that buffet, I think I'd have had to pay a surcharge. The difference in weight going out and coming back, absolutely loved it. And you can't. The thing is, if you're a meat eater, you will find you're probably packing in enough meat to just shut the gate for a bit. Obviously, with the vegan diet, it is just a conveyor belt. So I was in the children's pool with my daughter one day, and I said, I'm going to get out now. I need a wee. And she said, just wee in the pool. And for a second, I thought, maybe I will. It's not the sort of thing I'd usually do, but pool's full of kids, they're doing it.
Yeah.
But I thought, I don't think I've had a water. I don't think I've had a glass of water for 4 days. It's going to be a sort of treacly Cruz Campo wee. It'll probably cling.
Syrup.
So I said to her, no, I'm going to get out. And as we're getting out of the pool, it transpired that I didn't just need a wee. And I tell you what, if I hadn't got out of that, if I'd have tried to wee in that pool, they'd have had to shut it. I that is the closest I've ever come to what would have become an international incident. I think that would have been seen as terrorism.
And how close was the toilet from there? Did you make it on time?
I went back to the room. It was okay. One of them where I don't like a pool toilet because the people who go in there are dripping with pool water and you can't tell if what's pooling on the floor is urine or pool water.
Good point.
So given the choice there, I would go back to the room. I had my little flip-flops on, so I'm sort of half shuffling. And by the end,
slapping noise as they hit the floor, hit the heel, yeah. Hit the floor, hit the heel.
Getting faster and faster. Then you think, yeah. Do I go for the speed of the lift? But I couldn't take the risk that the lift would break down. So I went for the stairs, and I'm glad I did, because I think the movement helped me. I think I'd have stopped in the lift.
I'd have loved to have watched you with that rhythm, the shitter's tap dance. That's pulling your pants down. Oh God, don't do it now! Key in the lock. Oh my God!
Yeah. Do you know the dread as well is that you get back to the room, room service. Yeah. The cleaners are in. Oh no, no, no! Please,
no room service, EO.
Yeah, leave-o. But a 10 minutes, so
Mungio Pupo.
We'll need you in 20 minutes.
It's got to be that sort of immediate sense that you're gonna, it's coming out. And I know this happens to women as well, but it must be the closest men get to knowing what it's like to have your waters break, mustn't it? Oh, my solids have broken.
My gate's gone.
Oh man, it's the only way it's the closest thing we'll ever know to it, I think. And knowing that it's...
I think you're just on tricky ground here. I think any male reference to any aspect of childbirth, you are opening yourself up to...
Yeah, fair point.
...criticism.
Totally get that.
You're siding with the Spanish FA, if I might use that analogy.
Well, I wondered when we were going to come on to this, the Spanish president, football president, kissing... one of the players on the lips after they beat our girls in the final.
Yeah.
Fucking hell is he doing?
Yeah. It's an open shot case, isn't it?
But you know, apparently when they won, he'd grabbed his crotch in like the VIP area in front of everyone.
Right.
They'd been behaving badly all day. So that was like one of many incidents.
He's got,
and there were loads of complaints about the coach, weren't there? Just like, fucking hell. Really wish you could replay that game with a different ref.
Did you watch? Where did you watch?
I watched in my flat in Edinburgh, mildly sort of wriggling in sciatic pain and in wounded patriotic pride. It's one of those things, isn't it, where you try not to get too, because I get too emotional about football, and I try not to get too emotional about it being England.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. I just can't help. Oh, getting sucked in every time.
It goes back to what we're saying about you being a man of extremes. You know, if you're going to watch the football, you're going to react and you're going to cry and you're going to shout. If you're going to go out.
Fucking screaming in my flat. A fucking ref. I mean, how much you didn't get a second yellow for kicking the ball away?
I missed about 20 minutes.
Applying the laws of the game. It's infuriating to watch a top, the pinnacle of football.
Yeah.
You cannot get bigger than a World Cup final. And it's not like it was, oh, I didn't see it. It was just like, it just chose not to do it. It was nice to see Mary Earp save a penalty. That was cool. Nottingham girl, of course, went to the same school as me.
Really? Mad, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ex-Forest. I love that clip of her going, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Did you hear what they called her on the commentary? Mary Queen of Stops.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I do like it. Yeah. I thought it was a good penalty save.
You're a cultured man, aren't you? You seek out an art gallery. You've got an art gallery technique.
The commentary started to drive me mad on the BBC. Every time Spain went forward, the commentator going, is this it? Will this be it? And they kept going, there's no time left. It was like, there's 13 minutes of added on time. What are you on about? This could be the last attack. You're like, there's 13 minutes left.
Yeah, if it's any consolation, it was the same on ITV. I couldn't
God,
get
it. God, it was driving me mad.
I was in Madrid watching it, and I couldn't get the BBC. Due to international broadcasting rights, we're unable to... Ah, fuck off.
Were you surrounded by Spanish people rubbing it in your face?
I watched the first half as I checked out of my hotel, and then I had to go and get my train. So I saw the first half in the hotel. There were Spanish people around me. There was a guy in front of me, and he said to the waiter, hey, not so much favoristas, though. We're not the favourites. But nice and quiet behind him. He doesn't know I'm English. So I'm going to go mad when we score here. I was certain we were going to win.
I mean, the better team did win. It's important to reflect that. England just didn't create enough at the end of the day.
Across the 90 minutes, yeah, perhaps not across the tournament.
No, but it is about the 90.
It is about the 90.
Still feel a bit flat from it. I just think it would have been amazing to have been champions of Europe and world champions back-to-back like that.
Yeah.
I remember when Spain did it in the men's game, you're like, wow, this is just fucking mad when you see it. It's almost like wanting to see City do the treble. You're like, you kind of want to see those moments, and it would have been mad for that to be England.
There's that sense of inevitability as well, isn't it? That we're going to win it at some point.
Do you think?
Shouldn't say that. Yeah,
everyone else
is
going to catch up now.
Yeah, possibly, but we'll advance as well. You know, we'll get better.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Just on some of the older stuff. I mean, people have been getting in touch with it. Still getting in touch with us about the old stuff in your cupboard. It is interesting. Hello at downthetalk.com. Nathan says, we were at my gran's house and my mum asked for some eye drops. My gran gave her eye drops from 1998. Don't put them in your eye. I won't put eye drops in my eyes from 2 weeks ago. Only fresh. Only the freshest drops pass my eyes.
How old do you think they go into the bottle?
Well, no, I mean, they're
not making them up fresh in front of you. It's not like a market. You're not going down to the market for your Optrex, are you?
Newly purchased. I mean, I'm going down to the eye drop factory.
Oh, I just broke this Optrex in this morning, mate. Freshly mixed. I done it this morning. I got it at 5 o'clock in the morning. Damn me Optrex. I do it every day. Anything we don't use, we give to the homeless. Optrex. All Optrex is from 1998.
I've never used Optrex, but when I prefexafenadine, which has been a revolution in just being able to get antihistamines quickly over the counter, strong, that do the job, I would suffer terribly from hay fever, rub my eyes, and then get conjunctivitis. It was the soothing feeling when your eyes are really irritated. My eyeballs would go like jelly, like frog spawn.
God damn it.
The soothing drops of fresh drops from the fridge onto a wounded eye. Really, there are a few things in life more satisfying than that.
There's a Simpsons episode where Homer Simpson buys knockoff eye drops and his eyes crossed over. And I can't ever forget it. The noise the animators have put on as the crust forms over his eye used to give me nightmares. Oh,
because it is horrible when your eyes feel dry. You can almost hear them crinkling.
Sammy Cakes.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi, both.
Hi.
Another kick in the teeth for the landlord. I really liked the scoop John shared. I reckon that could make a great little segment. And I have to say, I had a text from my cousin Lorraine, whose friend went to another theme park, not the one I mentioned, and procured for herself her giant teddy using the patented Richardson technique. So it does work. I like the scoop John shared. I reckon that could make a great little segment where you read out listeners' scoops for a few weeks. Maybe, just maybe, that's a better listener request than have you had sciatica or how many chairs have you sat on today? I mean, I'm sure those could run and run, but still, to kick things off, I'll share my own scoop. So here's a scoop from Sammy Cakes. Okay. I live in London after several incidents of having me bike nicked. I've had me old, I'm trying to think of a rhyming slang for bike. Can't think of anything that rhymes with bike apart from trike, which is the same problem.
Well, it could be like fence and spike.
That well-known phrase.
Well, like...
The old fence and spike.
Yeah.
You're happy with that, are you? The old fence. I've had
you
me
get
fence.
Spikes on a fence.
Fence
you get
and
spikes
spike,
on a fence.
Bike.
You get
fence
spikes
and spike
on a fence.
Isn't a phrase, is it?
You get a spike on a fence. There's council railings.
I've had me spad nicked. Yeah, my old spad you like, bike. Anyway, my spad's gone.
Okay, nice.
I attached one of those baby chairs to the back and I've never had a problem since. It also doubles up as a nice secure place to strap my shopping for the ride home. I mean, some co-workers think I have an imaginary baby, but nevertheless, much love, Sammy Cakes. So that's a good scoop.
Has he done that on purpose?
Pop the baby seat onto the bike to deter thieves. What a city there London,
honor,
isn't it?
There is honour among thieves. There are petty criminals who go, can't nick that off a,
yeah.
If a kid's going to ride on it.
I wonder, could you apply that to a car and put a baby on board sticker on the back of your car?
Nah, I don't give a fuck. just thinking, he raised an issue before he launched into his great scoop.
That's how we end that feature.
Sat on today, and I think I've sat on 1, 2, 3, 4. hang on, that was the train back. 5, 6, 7 seats today.
Wow.
8, including my bed.
Okay, well.
It's a lot of seats, isn't it? Do you want me to take you through them? If it's 8, including the bed.
No, I really, bed, really don't.
Train.
Yeah, he's doing
waiting
it.
Waiting room.
Here we go, he's going for
MRI
it.
MRI machine. Train back.
Oh, you can't count the train twice. No. Train is the same.
Two separate trains.
Same style of seat.
No. One was cross country, one was ScotRail.
Yeah,
wrong,
but by that
wrong,
token,
wrong.
Every time you go to the toilet, you re-sit in a chair. You just sat in your chair.
Different rolling
no,
stock.
No, same chair. Yep, same. Yep, no,
yep,
7.
Yep. It's a yes, and everyone knows it.
Same seat.
Did we have any other scoops?
Oh, I'm getting such a headache from this.
Hang on, I'll scroll
smell.
Through the emails. You just.
Well, no, because we've just launched the feature, haven't we? So unless one's come in. Like now, unless Danny's thought of one while I read that email.
Yeah.
I thought your scoop earlier about pushing your car a quarter of a mile was a good one.
Yeah, that's good.
Is it a double scoop podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Double
two scoops.
First ever two scoop podcast. Oh, dear.
Yours is really an insurance scam.
Yeah, I don't think I could. But then so's the Alton Towers one, really. It's fraudulent, really.
Yeah.
Do you want one?
Yeah.
If you've got any 20-year-old fish oil knocking around the house, don't tip it on your laptop.
Should we do Dom's email about the his mum's cupboard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to read it.
Dom. Don't you worry, I've
we
got
all
it.
Come from our mum's cupboards.
Oh, my word.
That's our full scoop, isn't it?
He says, evening, gents. Oh, he's emailing us at night. That's lovely. So it's
how
now
do you know?
We've
got
dog.
A time on it.
Yeah, he emailed us at 18:58 on Tuesday night. So it's 2 minutes
not,
to seven.
That's evening. What's wrong with you? You can't in the what same chair work? Twice and you think 18:58 is night.
Well, night's the same as evening.
No.
Morning, is it?
18:58 isn't night.
Of course it is.
If you were leaving a shop at 18:58 and you said good night, they go, he's a fucking nutter. Get a watch,
you
swat.
Good night. It's like saying. You start calling the bus driver dad.
Night.
Night. Sweet dreams.
I'm just going to have a nighttime, my dinner.
Anyway, Dom says, on the subject of aged tins. When my mum died last year, I had the job of clearing out the house.
All the comments I make about his mother's cupboard. I didn't realise she'd passed on.
Sorry. He says, I had the job of clearing out the house, which turned up all manner of goods that even John wouldn't consider fit for consumption. The tins of peaches from the early 2000s in the cupboard were but the start.
I'd eat them.
Once we got to the fridge, I discovered tins of salmon and generic processed meats from the 80s from brands long since consigned to history. The oldest single item was a tin of Carnation, which I think was milk or custard.
It's an evaporated milk, I think, is it Carnation?
From 1979.
Oh.
And here's the kicker. He says, the best thing is, she'd had at least 2 new fridges in that time, so had transplanted the elderly cans across and never thought to maybe have a clear out. And he says, to preempt Fordy's next question, no, we didn't have a minute silence for her, but then she hadn't attended a game since Stoke beat Chelsea in the 1972 League Cup final. Cheers, Dom. What a perfect email.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if that's been a refrigerated can,
yeah,
it's all right, isn't it?
Safe to eat?
Yeah.
Send it in, and John will open it all over his laptop.
I'll tip it all over my laptop. We'll go well with the fish. Do you want an end to the anecdote about the lady on the train?
Yes, a lovely way, a lovely callback to round off today's episode.
Do you know the lady who I sat next to on the train had been at a funeral at Fulham Football Club for a man who'd had a season ticket there since the 1950s. The ultimate minute silence, he got Fulham Football Club for his wake. That's got to be the end of that feature, right?
Nope.
Okie dokie. Email in if you've ever had a minute silence at a football ground on the comedy podcast that loves to talk about death and coughing up blood.
What an eventful show this has been, John.
Jesus. And we're asking listeners to email in your scoops if you've got a listener scoop for next week. And are we sticking with that, Lou, if you've ever coughed up blood?
Yeah.
And if you've both had a hemorrhoid and visited three galleries in the last year?
Yeah, or had an MRI. And I guess that's it, John.
Don't get up the cat, get down the dog.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.